DJ W Mobile.
4-H Gex. Evening, Dave.
How are you? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing good. Been shoveling and scraping snow most of the week.
That the last couple of days. Not today, though. Everything's melting pretty good now. But I had to do that to get stuff off my wife's car so she could go to work 2 days ago. Was her first time? Tuesday, I guess it was.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in my side-by-side scraping the neighborhood next to me and driveways over there, and then finally got home to mine last night, so, and got it all cleaned up, straightened out, so I could get in and out without too much trouble.
Yeah, the time of it, that was necessary just to get home, or were you able, was it blocked, were you blocked out?
No, everything I got, I can make it up and down the hill. But for the wife to go in and out, it needs to be a little cleaner than what I can deal with.
Yeah, it's kind of like me scraping the driveway for my wife so that when she walks out there to go to work, she doesn't fall. I do the same thing. I'm out there with a shovel, shoveling up ice off of the concrete so she can walk on it without falling.
Got to take care of them.
I'm doing some programming. I was listening to you and Kate. Not Alexander, but who was that you were talking to earlier about different radios?
Andrew.
Andrew. Yeah. Like, he sounds just like Robert Martin. Did you ever talk to Robert Martin on the radio?
No, sir, I did not.
Calling that every now and then, AA4RM Robert. And I heard his voice on there and I thought, man, that sounds like Robert, but it wasn't him.
Andrew, KO4CEF, we were talking about doing the 2 meter single sideband, and I was going to ask you actually about that. Didn't you say there was a net or used to be a net in this area?
Shannon, I don't remember her call sign. Shannon, who is a member of the same club that Sid is, that calls the net on Sunday night on 1.664, she put on a simplex net, and a bunch of people signed up for it. I couldn't get in directly until I purchased a 2 meter handheld Yagi, and I got in my bonus room and I pointed it in their direction, and I could talk to them on 5 watts, no problem. I couldn't talk to them on 100 watts on a vertical with 15 dB a gain. But with that Yagi and that handheld and 5 watts, I made it into the sideband net. But you got to talk on sideband, not FM.
What we were wanting to experiment with, but we didn't know if the net was still going on or not.
Now, Shannon put that together all by herself, and she did it a couple of years ago, and she ran it for a couple of years. Are you familiar with the club, the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club? Club, not society, but club.
I know of them, but I have not been to any meetings or officially met anybody there. They have their meeting when it's really hard for me to get to it, and it's in Hendersonville, so where I'm always down there during the day, I can't quite make it back up here in time.
Well, they've got a repeater on Bear Walla Mountain, I think is what they use. I think Shannon's somewhere up and around that area. I found Bear Walla Mountain on the map, and that's where I got my vector to point my Yagi. Vertical polarization, not horizontal. Vertically polarized on single sideband, and I was able to, before that, the only way I could get in is if Keith, KE4ZHF, you hear him on our net just about every night. He's in Columbus, North Carolina. He used to relay me into her net.
Just trying to find another way of communicating without having to always go through a repeater, and thought maybe we'd give that a try and see how it worked out, but I don't know my location where I'm at.
And that's a good idea, and the reason that she did it was similar to that. It was so that if something bad was to happen in this area and the repeaters were to go down, you would know who you could talk to and they would know who they could talk to. And eventually, if you needed to get messages passed, you would have have a whole lot better idea of who's around you that you can, like, I know Keith, KU4ZHF. I know I can talk to him direct, and he's in Columbus. I know that he can talk to Shannon direct, and she's wherever she is, near Barawala. So that kind of putting those connections together inside people's head is the reason she did that. And it stuck. It was a good idea. And I hate she quit, but I can understand after a while it gets tiresome. Because it's not like 2-meter FM repeater net. Those are easy compared to what she was doing.
Plex net is going to be a challenge. I don't care which way you go about it. There's a lot more involved than just coming into the repeater and getting your information. The repeater sure makes it easy and nice, though.
Yeah, and that's the reason, that's the whole reason they did this back in the 70s. It's because they used to struggle like that just to communicate all the time. There wasn't anything such thing as a cell phone. They could do it. Nobody else could. Nobody else could communicate over distances like that, like ham radio operators. But it wasn't easy back then. Now that they decided back then to put up repeaters, now it's simple for us.
To rely on technology sometimes, and it will let you down at the worst possible time.
That's a fact. That's what K4SUG Ray used to say on here all the time. He said, if it's man-made, it's going to break.
I used to say that all the time working on cars. It's man-made. It's going to tear up. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a job.
Father, the astronauts going to the Apollo astronauts going to the moon, all that stuff was man-made. It's going to break, and it did break. Thankfully, they were able to improvise, but stuff broke. That's just the way it goes. But, yeah, that'd be good if somebody wanted to put together another one of those things. You have to have somebody that's high up on a mountain, though, and I think Shannon was pretty close to top of a mountain or pretty high up. You can't do it like if you're in a valley. Like there's a town over there near them that's in a valley. There's a bunch of people in that valley. They couldn't talk to anybody except by going through a relay.
Barawala is over in Edneyville, if I'm not mistaken. And do you know what frequency she used to do that on?
Off the top of my head, I'm sure it's written down somewhere, because I had to. She did multiple 2-meter frequencies and multiple 70 centimeters. She did 70 centimeter too. I don't think I ever made it in on 70 centimeters, but she did both and multiple frequencies on each. Don't know what they were. And sometimes she used to move around. I don't recall exactly what that was for. If there was interference, she would have an alternate frequency.
A lot like an HF net.
Exactly. Exactly the same thing as it worked the same way the HF net worked. If somebody was on that frequency or there was just noise, because sometimes there's things on VHF that just move around. And we have one that used to be a lot more prevalent on this repeater. It used to key it up constantly. It's not so bad, knock on wood, anymore, but it happens.
Andrew and I were talking about it, and I couldn't remember earlier today who had told me about it, and that there used to be a net or was still one around here, and then it dawned on me that it was you, and I finally got to ask you about it this evening. So I appreciate the information, and if you can remember those frequencies or her call sign, I'd definitely be interested in that.
All right, I'll see if I can look it up. And if Andy is on here, K4LZI Andy, he'll remember it for sure. he's like a dictionary with that kind of information. But anyway, I enjoyed that too. So while I was programming, I was listening to you guys about the different radios. I don't know that much about the newer radios. I switched over to software defined, and that's about all I have for radios anymore for HF is SDRs. But it is nice to look at those that you guys were talking about. Those are pretty radios.
They're handy and they're nice, and then they got a lot of buttons. You got to try to figure out how to jump through the hoops too.
And with that TS-2000, it was like that. People complained about how many buttons it had, but after a while, you do it enough, it gets you get to know those buttons. You get really close to your radio, and those buttons are a plus. Same thing with SDRs, buttons on a screen instead of buttons on a physical device, but I know I had a couple of Kenwood TS-2000s, and I used one manual for both of them. They were both the same radio. One was a Millennial. It was their 100-year anniversary. They made 1,000 of them that were black, and that's all they produced for that. But the pages on my manual, and it was a pretty thick manual, they were curled up and dog-eared. I mean, because I went front to back, back to front to back, constantly learning that radio. And then once you've got it in your head, yeah, nobody's as dangerous as somebody who knows their radio.
I'm still learning this one I got, and then I've got a couple of other ones I'm learning on top of it, so sometimes I get confused between which one I'm dealing with.
That is a problem these days. this is an Icom or is this a Kenwood? Or maybe it's a Yaesu, I don't know. The problem with Yaesu, that manuals that I had, is they would tell you what you needed to do, and I'd follow the instructions step by step, and then when they got to the end, they said, while you're holding down button. So now you got to back up and go all the way to the beginning again and hold down this button and do the whole thing all over. Anyway, just the way humans' brains work.
And the more you use it, the easier it gets. I don't care what you're dealing with. So, but next question is, do you know of any HTs or mobile radios that do 2-meter single sideband?
I was using one. I've got a Yaesu, VX7R, I think, and an 8R, and I think those newer, I think all of those newer ones will do that, the handheld. And then my Kenwood TS-2000 does, you know, all modes, all bands. Icom 7000 does that. There's a ton of them that do that.
Looking for, you know, like a handheld, an HT, or a 50-watt mobile unit that does that. I know the 7100 that Andrew's got does it, and then my 706 does it. So I know those two, but I'm looking for other options also.
Like one that's lower price so that more people can get them?
But something that's dependable, not necessarily one of the Bofangs or in something, whatever, that neighborhood. You know, something decent.
I maxed out on radios about 15 years ago. So almost all of my radios are at least 15 years old or older, and I got so many of them, I can't really justify buying more radios. They all work just fine. They do everything I need them to do. So I don't know the newest equipment that's coming out there. I think Jerry in 4DJC knows about the handhelds and what they're capable of. I think he's trying some of those new ones out, so he'd be a good source. You know Jerry?
Yeah, I know Jerry. He's got that new ID52, the new Icom HT. He's been talking to me about it.
He's got the new Yaesu, too, that's touchscreen, color touchscreen. So, yeah, he's trying. I'd go to him. Since he's trying the handhelds out, I'd go to him.
We had that Yaesu. He's been talking to me about that Icom and D-Star since he knows I got the ID5100 in my excursion. He's been trying to get me set up on D-Star, and I don't know. That's been the hardest digital mode I've seen to deal with so far.
And if I blank out, it's because it's my turn at the window. There's one car in front of me. So if I'm gone, you know what happened to me. Are you doing D-Star specifically, or just DMR in general, or digital radio, digital mobile radio, one of those two?
I have got a DMR radio, and the Yaesu here is capable of the Fusion, and my ID5100 is D-Star. So I've got all three of them, but DMR is the one I use the most.
Okay, because there's several, DMR is an overloaded acronym. It can mean several different things. That's why I ask. But D-Star, I think, was one of the first, so it might have a lot of, you know, ball and chain legacy stuff in it that makes it harder than the guys that learn from them.
It is for me. It is just the processes and things you got to go through to get it to connect and all that. That's just, I haven't been able to get my mind around it yet. And trying to find information on exactly how to do it with your radio is not the easiest thing.
that yet. I'm hoping, I know that the guys that do SVX Link for, you know, it's an Echolink implementation, but it's also one of those that can do protocol conversion. So I'm hoping instead of having to learn all of them, we can learn the one that they settle on. I think they know what the backbone is going to be, and learn that one, and then if you can do it, you can do any of them.
Bridges now that go between most of them, and I haven't tried those yet. Like I said, I'm still diving in there, and I've dove in with both feet on the DMR side of it and trying to figure it out, and been playing with it for almost a year now.
DJW, my turn at the window. Be back in a minute.
4HKX. I'll be monitoring, Dave.
Six, that'll be 4DJW. Still there, Patrick?
Yes, sir. KO4HKX here.
Bad spot. I heard a bunch of static. Nothing else. I have bad spots down here at Zaxby's all the time, so that's probably me.
Okay, I'm here, Dave. KO4HKX.
Say if you and Andrew decide to put something together for Simplex, that's I'm all in. I would go for that again if somebody decides they want to revive that.
So they're sandbagging right now, so maybe he can chime in.
And are you in Anderson? Where's Andrew located?
Cabello.
Oh, he's over near Chad, huh?
Right between Chad and Walt.
Thinking he was down in Anderson.
Not him. I don't know if he's still listening or not. You normally he would chime in.
For a minute. But you might, like, check in on SIDNet on Sunday and, you know, just throw that question out there. There'll be a lot of people listening, and those are the same people that were interested in doing it the first pass. So if you guys decide to do it, there's a huge audience right there.
It's just something to focus on, something to keep learning. So you just keep trying something new.
That was a lot of participation, and a lot of people learned, and there were takeaways from it. So that was pretty cool. And motivation to experiment with antennas, it gets heightened at that point, too. That's what I was doing. I was playing around with antennas until I found a way to get in.
The 2-meter beam laying back here, but I can't get it put up because of the weather. Every time we try to get scheduled to get it put up, it's either raining or snowing anymore.
I mean, I know how that works. It works against you. Thank you. But eventually it clears up and you can get around to putting that up. I like the handhelds. I've got the handheld Jaggy. I think they use them mainly for satellites. But it can be used for direction finding or, you know, communicating on simplex nets on single sideband.
That's one of the reasons I was curious about a HT that does it. I didn't know the VX7 and VX8 did that, so I had to look a little more into that.
I remember standing there in the middle of the airplane room with that, and I moved, and you had to be to one side. You had to be to the northeastern corner of the room in order to be able to get in. If I stood over on the southwestern corner or the northwestern corner, I couldn't get in. You just had to, and what I would do is walk around in the room pointing it at their location until I got their signal to come up as high as I could, and then I would try to join in and was eventually able to get there.
Appreciate that information. Now I'll have to do a little more digging on that and see what I can find out. A Facebook group to a 2-meter single sideband up and down the East Coast, but I don't know, I haven't been able to hear it. Of course, I don't have my antenna up. All I got the vertical, so it won't do me any good right now.
Reminds me, Ron does that too. Not Rod, but there's a guy named Ron, and I'm trying to remember what his call sign is, but he does 2-meter single sideband routinely. It'll come to me. His call sign will come to me when I stop trying to think of it. They're talking about the guy up in South Dakota. We were talking about it, and his name came up for that. because he's good at it. But he does a little bit. He dabbles in just about everything. He does software-defined radios, too, builds his own, repairs them, all that stuff.
There's so much in this hobby, I don't think you could ever learn a tenth of it to where you're proficient in it.
With apers?
I actually have two radios that'll do it now. I've got two of the Kenwood TMD710s that are capable of it. I thought about setting one of them up here at the house and using it as a digipeater.
Set up so that you can, transmit via text messages. I know the one I'm talking on right now will do that, but you've got to go to the message section. You got to push a dial, turn a knob, find a letter, push the knob, push another button to move to the right, hunt for another letter, and push it. It's a whole lot of work to type it in. Have you got anything set up so that you can just, type in a message?
Nope. Both of the Kenwoods are that exact same way. The only ones I know of that aren't that way are the Yaesu 400 and the FT3D and 5D.
That 400 has a touch screen, doesn't it? So you can just type in your message like a little miniature keyboard.
Yes, sir, it does. And so does the 3D and 5D, theirs is like the old text messaging used to be where you had to hit the letter like three times to get the right one.
You hit it. It was like an old telephone dial pad. You could hit the number one key one time and get an A, hit it twice to get a B, hit it three times to get a C.
The videos I've seen on it anyway, I don't have either one of the radios personally, but I've been watching lots of YouTube videos trying to decide if I wanted to look into getting the FT5D or the ID52.
5D, that's the name of their, is that anything like a 400?
It's the HT version. It's the little handheld version.
One that came out before that Jerry and I was talking about, this is a newer one that came out since then?
Yes, the FT5D is a HT. And the 400 is a mobile unit. And then they had the FT3D, which was the HT predecessor to the 5D.
Okay, it was that 3D that Jerry and I were reviewing, and he went ahead and bought one. I never did. But they've got built-in GPS, GPS to do apers. And a touch screen and a touch keyboard.
Touch screen, and they got the keypad on the touch screen. It doesn't have a keyboard.
Send a message without having to go through what I was explaining to you a minute ago.
Yeah, you can. And the message that I sent you a couple of months ago, that was from my 710, and I was sitting there, I'm spinning a knob, looking for the letter, making sure it's capital or lowercase, all that, and then pushing the button and spacing it to the next one. Yeah, that was kind of a interesting way to enter a message.
Experience. I think we've all done that once or twice. I haven't done that. I think I programmed one of them, like the radio I'm on now. If you send it a message, I think it sends back, I'm not at a keyboard or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but got your message, not at a keyboard at the moment. So that I didn't have to, pull over to the side of the road and try to type in a message with that funky typewriter.
KO4HKX. Yeah, the ID5100 missed a good opportunity at that because you can Bluetooth it to your phone and you could actually type it through there and send it through the radio. They missed a good opportunity on that one. To put that in.
Yeah, that Bluetooth stuff is really good. You can get that stuff that's got Bluetooth. The next thing will be is so that it'll take dictation. You can just say what you want in the message and then say send. That would be pretty cool with apers. Anyway, I'm about to back it in the driveway and eat supper. Good talking to you, Patrick. Hope you and Andrew decide to fire up a simplex. That would be fun. K4HKX, W4DJW.
information as usual. You're very informative. And again, thanks. Have a good evening, KO4HKX, and I'll be on the side monitoring.
Okay.
You still out running the roads?
Last trailer now. I enjoyed that conversation. I'd really be interested in that too. I just need to find a radio that'll do sideband. I didn't realize handhelds would do sideband. That's good to know.
Any that would transmit on sideband, I knew I have one that'll receive sideband, but it won't transmit. So yeah, that is good to know. I have to look into that a little bit.
Go. Probably back in the 90s, seeing a radio, and I think it might have been a Kenwood, and it was just a 2 meter all mode. I know they used to make them. I'd love to find one like that. I haven't been able to see one even on eBay or anything, or you know, one that was in working order.
T or a mobile unit?
A base unit. I don't know for sure if you could run it mobile or not, but you know, big enough that it sit on, you know, wasn't huge, but it was just all it was a 2 meter all mode radio.
Talking about the IC706 Mark IIG, which is all mode, all band radio. It will do that, and I have one of them, and it's a very nice radio. And there is actually one on Facebook Marketplace for sale right now.
Not about strictly just 2 meters. It was just strictly 2 meter all mode. That was it. Not all band, just 2 meters.
Okay. I haven't seen that one. That's why I was asking, because none of the newer radios that I see have 2 meter single sideband on the mobile units. It'd be nice to find one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think they make just an all mode, a 2 meter all mode anymore. I don't think anybody makes one. If I could find one, even, you know, in good working order from the, you know, 80s or 70s or 80s, if it worked, I'd be happy to have it.
Increase your range quite a bit if somebody else is capable of receiving it.
Do that, you know, get something going. I'd be interested. I'm curious about propagation. Does sideband on 2 meters is it still just line of sight? Or does it do any kind of skipping? I don't know. I would think it would just be line of sight, but I know they get a lot of distance out of sideband.
For sure, because I don't have an antenna, and I'm completely off of the videos I watch on YouTube and that information only. But yes, it does increase your range. You can go watch if you've got access to it. A guy called Tech Prepper. He actually does quite a bit of it, and he's making contacts 200 to 400 miles away, but now he lives in Arizona, so he's going to the ridge and he's going out that way, so he doesn't have all the natural radio absorbing material in the way.
We've got a big mountain range right between us, so I mean, well, it's a small mountain range, but it's big for a radio signal.
Tucked right up against the base of it over on the other side, so it's hard to get to me.
Other side, so maybe it'll work out. That's what I was curious about, Skip, if it does anything like that, but probably not. I just haven't tried it. Anyway, I'm close to the building here. Let me let you go. I enjoyed that conversation, though. Maybe I'll catch you on the way home. KO4HKX and 4ZLK.
N4ZLK, you be careful, and if I don't talk to you on the way home, you be careful there also. KO4HKX, and I'll be on the side monitoring. 73 Shane.